We're finishing off today the sermon series in the month of September. And each week I've been trying to speak with you about different components and elements and aspects about our faith as Christian people that will help us move forward with strength. That's the goal of the church, is always to find ways to create greater strength and greater capacity to be the presence of Christ in the world. And the whole purpose of this is to ramp up the whole vision that we have and that we passed this year about engaging the community and doing it 167 hours of the week. Not just serving God when you're here on Sunday morning, but mainly when you're out there in the midst of your regular routine, having coffee and playing sports and doing all the different things that you do, and to be watching for ways that you can serve God. First week, I talked about how important it is to have a strong faith if you're to move forward in a positive way. The next week, I talked about supportive relationships, because nobody moves forward in a constant way without relationships around them that support them and encourage them, because there's always times that people are down. There's times when I'm down. And when I'm down, it's really helpful to have those supportive relationships that kind of lifts me and reminds me that God is near and I'm not alone. Last week, I talked about encountering love and how important it was to be able to encounter that love, and the energy that comes to us when we encounter the love of God is incredible. And today, we're going to talk about the gift of serving. It's a fascinating topic because in the minds of many people, people do not think that serving is a gift. Interesting thing. People think serving is a lot of things, mainly a responsibility. Oh, it's something I've got to do, you know. Somebody asks me if you'll do it. Okay, I'll do it, right? Some people find it's a stress. It's a stress in their life, or it takes their energy and they're just tired, or you get roped into it, right? You didn't show up to one meeting and everybody says, well, Sue will do that, right? Because she wasn't at the meeting. And then some people just say, you gotta do what you gotta do. And so people do not see serving as something that's exciting. It may be something that's a duty that I have to do that, you know, I want to do maybe even. But most people do not see serving as a gift, as a blessing in life. And so I want to talk about that. We serve because Jesus asked us to serve. In Matthew's Gospel, the 20th chapter, verses 26 to 27, he says, he's talking about the scribes and the Pharisees. He says that, you know, some people, you know, lord it over you. But he says, but it should not be this way with you. If one of you wants to be great, then he must serve you like a servant. If one of you wants to become first, then he must serve you like a slave. What a totally different way of thinking about serving than in the community. And of course, the greatest symbol of serving that Jesus gave was on the night that he was betrayed. And he goes into the upper room, and all the disciples are there. And one of the customs was that when you went into a room, you know, somebody washed your feet. Guess who that was? It's always the servant. It's always the person that you do not know. And there was no servant around that day, that night. And so the disciples were kind of wondering, well, who's going to wash the feet? And, you know, Peter's going, not me. You know, I'm Peter the Rock, right? And I wouldn't be doing that. And nobody does it. And so Jesus takes off his gown, grabs the basin and the towel, and bends down, and he washes the feet of each of his disciples. He says, you call me teacher, and you're right, that's who I am. And if I will do this, if I will serve in this way, I also want you to serve the way I serve. And that's why we serve people. Now, most people want to serve from the top. This is especially true in the church. You know, we want to be the top person. You know, we want to be the, the person that is on the top of the serving chain, right? We want to be the people that are recognized and people see me or see you as the leader, as the one who's on the top, who is honored and in charge and in control. It's always fun at the board, you know, because the board has all these ideas, and then we say, who would like to do that? And everybody does this. And we love to be in that place of honor where we can make these creative ideas, and then one of you guys do what I say. And that's what's happening in this scripture passage this morning. The mother of James and John goes up to Jesus and asks, and she bows down and makes a request and just says, all I want you to do is make James and John your right-hand guys in heaven. Let them sit on your right and sit on your left. That was the place of honor. And Jesus talks to them about whether they could handle the suffering. And he knows that they are going to end up suffering because all the disciples are end up suffering for the faith. And the passage that Carol didn't read is about what happened after, because all the other disciples were ticked off when they heard that James and John were trying to scoop the right hand and the left hand places of honor in God's kingdom. It's easy to be the person at the top that wants to be the one that gives the orders, the one that gets the recognition. But Jesus says, that's not the way it is in my kingdom. He says, he sat down, called the 12 disciples over to him, and said, whoever wants to be first must take last place and be the servant of everyone else. That's the hard part about the church. We're called to be the lowest position in society, right? We're the ones that want to serve and do what nobody else wants to do. We're there to serve without recognition. We do it because we want to do it, because Christ calls us to take the basin and the towel and to do something that nobody else will do, and to serve the community, and that's what the church is about. But it's hard for us because we take the superior position. We say, people should be thankful for what we do. I mean, people should be happy if I give money. They should be thankful for what I give them, even if I give them the leftovers, right? We're always great in the church for giving leftovers, right? You know, we have garage sales. What do we bring? Stuff I don't want. Let's get rid of this because I don't have to take it. And that's why I said this year, take something of value, something that you really want to keep, and give it away. And so I want to talk about how do we see serving as a gift? What makes it a gift? Well, the first thing, serving is a gift because we know that what we're doing is fulfilling Christ's call. That's one of the huge pieces of serving. It's knowing that we're doing this because that's what Jesus asked us to do. And Jesus said, I just want you to do what he would do. You see, Jesus never asks you to do anything that he would not do. And we are thankful that we have these opportunities to just simply fulfill that request of Christ. And in that is one of the gifts. We realize that I'm being faithful. We're being faithful to what Jesus asks us to do. In John's gospel, he says, whoever serves me must follow me, says the Lord. And where I am, there also will be my servant be. My Father will honor the one who serves me. And so not only are we fulfilling what Christ calls us to do, in that serving we encounter the presence of Christ himself. The second piece here is when we serve, we try to become more like Jesus. You will never be Jesus, but you have the opportunity, you and I, to become more like Christ. And when we do it is when we become the servant of the people in need within our community. And as I said to the kids, you know, the stats are there are 20% of people in your age group that are feeling lonely, that are feeling disconnected. And the question is, do you have the eyes to see that? And do you have the desire to do something about that? And when we do that, we have this awareness that we become more like Jesus. And that's what Jesus reached out to. If you read the Gospels, Jesus doesn't go to the emperors to sit around and sip wine and talk jokes. Jesus goes to the people that are discarded by society. The prostitutes, the people with leprosy, the tax collectors that everybody despised, the people that the church of that day would have nothing to do with, are the people that Jesus goes and sits beside and reminds them by his presence that they are loved by God. The third thing is we make a difference in the lives of others. And the whole purpose of the gospel, it's good news. It's good news because it makes a difference in people's lives. It lifts them. It encourages them. It strengthens them. It helps them to become all that God is calling them to be. And when you serve them by being present with them, it just reminds them of God's love and God's care. It says the most important part of our lives is how we make a difference in the lives of others. Is that the most important part of your life? Is that the most important part of my life? Is what I'm really focused on this week is to try to make a difference in somebody else's life? Or is it just making sure I get the most out of my living this week? Well, the last thing, what makes serving a gift is in serving, there is joy. In the Psalm 100, it says, serve the Lord with gladness. And when we serve, especially when we serve the least of these, remember in Matthew's Gospel, 25th chapter, he said, when you serve the least of these, it's like you have done it unto me. And like Jesus in his day, we go and we look for the people who are on the street, you know, with their hand out. And it's saying, well, I'm not going to give them any money because you know what they're going to do with it, right? They're going to spend it on drugs and alcohol, and so I won't do them. I'm helping them, a matter of fact. I'm being really nice. I'm doing the tough love thing here, right? Instead of just stopping and introduce yourself and saying, how can I help? And when we do that, there is joy. No joy can equal the joy of serving others. And the best place and the way we find the greatest joy is when we help somebody who can never repay what we do for them. And that's why we work with the least in the world. That's why we go to Honduras, because none of those children are going to be able to pay you back. And people often say, well, why are we spending so much money down there? And the answer is because they're the least in Central America. And we're serving because that's where Christ calls us to serve. And the greatest joy comes when I know that I've made a difference in another person's life, and they don't even know that I helped them. All they know is that something positive happened. I have a video clip that I want you to watch. And it shows you in the middle of this video a shift that takes place. At the first part of the video, this guy all is only focused on himself. The only language you hear is I, me, me, me. And then something happens and it changes his vision. Take a look.
kid, every time I'm pulling out, he's right there. Man, and someone needs to talk to his parents if they're ever at home. What is up with the traffic today? It's always, every day, this intersection's always crowded. I hate pulling out of here. I need some of these dumb roads. Oh, there's... Okay, so I'm not even here. Right. Great lady. The princess of parking. Sure, take the spot. Way to be considerate. Oh, are you kidding me? Unbelievable. Oh.
Thank you, ma'am.
Oh, it's about time. Let's see, what do I want?
Yeah, could I add a cookie to that order?
Yeah, no problem.
Yeah, no problem, only guy in the world. I'm sure you need your cookie. The world, your oyster, and he's serving your cookie.
Thanks,
thank you so much.
Uh-huh. What can I get for you?
Yeah, I'll have a tall decaf macchiato.
Yeah, sure, no problem. $3.85. And it might take a few minutes here. We've got quite a line, obviously, and thanks for your patience. Great.
Yeah, great. Great for me. Waiting again. Unbelievable. What? What?
Larry, we turn it up a bit, please.
What is that? What in the world? Oh. What? What am I supposed to do? How can I do anything about that? Can I even help with that? I don't...
Your copy, sir.
Oh. I can't take this anymore. I gotta get out of here.
Hey, what?
Hey, buddy, come here.
So the shift, all for me, and my, and what's going on in his life, to all of a sudden being aware of what's going on in the lives of others. If you had the glasses this morning that he had, and you looked around the room, what would you see? Because see, the needy people are all around us all the time. Ministry is not about simply going away to far-off places and helping people who are poor. That's part of ministry. It's about feeding and clothing people that are in need, for sure. But it's also having the ability to see what is happening to the people right beside you right now. Because if you think everybody in this room right now has no issues and no need, you are gravely mistaken, because there are needs right in this room. And the question is, will you have the eyes to see? will you have the ears to listen? And if you want to encounter blessing, it's about relocating our life focus. The beginning of that story, all that young lad could see was himself. You know, the kid always in front or back behind my car, the traffic stalling me from getting, all those things were about himself, because he was at the center of everything that was happening to him up to the point that he received the glasses. And at that moment, life focus changed for him. And if you want to encounter the blessing and the joy of serving and to see it as a gift, it means we have to take ourselves out of the center and put ourselves on the periphery of our life and put Christ in the middle. And when you put Christ in the center of your life, he gives you different ears to hear. He gets you to hear the tone of the voice and realize that there's something going on in that person. It's about looking and watching the face and seeing in the eyes, and even though the person is trying to tell me everything is great, there's something in their look, there's something in the crack of their voice, there's something in the flushing of their face that reminds me that I have the opportunity to be present and help that person at that moment. And the question is, will you relocate yourself and take yourself out of the center so that the only thing that matters today and this week is your agenda, what you want to do, what you think needs to be done? And then just simply every morning say, Lord, give me eyes to see and ears to hear, because you're going to place me in the presence of people that I do not know right now. And some of them, if not most of them, will have a need. Serving Christ is about carrying the cross. And Jesus said, if you want to follow me, you got to take the cross. The cross is a symbol, not of torture, not of pain, but of love. That's what the cross symbolizes. And when we carry the cross of Christ, it's carrying the love of Christ into the lives of people who are in need that you're going to meet this week and do something about it. For ministry is happening all time, at all times. Everyone here is called to full-time ministry. You're not called to ministry on Sunday morning or ministry on Monday evening when you serve people or in some other time when you're doing something specific for the poor. That certainly is ministry, an important part. But everyone here is in full-time ministry. And it's called by Christ to carry the cross, to have the eyes to see and the ears to listen. And when you see that person or hear that person this week who is in need, you lift them by your presence. You lift them by your smile, and you remind them that they're not alone. And that is what this engaging the community is all about. It's not simply a ministry of Grace Church. It's the ministry of all the people of Grace Church, all the hours of the week, that helps them experience through your presence the love, the compassion, and the care of Christ. And so my hope this week is that you will take yourself out of the center and place Christ there and do something for some one person this week. If everybody here just did one person, then this congregation is going to shift at least 150 to 175 lives this week in a positive direction that speaks about the wonder and the presence of God's love in the midst of the reality of living.